To understand why this is important, we have to understand and consider the question, what is the nature of the human person? Now, this is a perennial question. It's a tremendous question. It's a question that has been debated for centuries, millennia, really. And of course, there's a Jewish-Christian understanding because it comes from God, so therefore it's right. And then there's all of the fallacious constructs of the human person. So the understanding of the human person handed on from us, remember your Genesis, right? Remember, and this is a story about what it was like. It's not the exact scientific details. But that God created man in his image, male and female, he created them. And then he breathed into them the breath of life. So male and female is the human person, and they receive something from God, namely the breath of life, right? Now, what is the breath of life? The breath of life is the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, the love that exists between the Father and the Son. So he breathes into the human person his own spirit. And we understand this event to mean his, you know, that we receive a soul. So the understanding of the human person, it's not just merely in Christianity. You'll find similarities in Plato and Aristotle, but certainly within Christianity, Judeo-Christianity, is this idea, this understanding that the human person is both physical and spiritual, not merely one or the other. And all of the terrible ideas of the human person can't get that right. They reduce the human person either to merely sort of spiritual or psychological, or they reduce the human person to merely physical. We don't believe that as Christians at all. Completely reject it. I think we can also reject it based on experience. I think most of us believe we have a spiritual reality within ourselves, even if we have difficulty understanding, you know, the Christian revelation. Now, of course, the most recent fallacious concept of man is modern gender theory, which is an abysmal theory. It's terrible. It's horrible philosophically. And if you haven't thought about it, I'll teach it to you and take it down completely. But let's start with how crazy it is. It would be, I think, in my mind, easier to believe in a flat earth than modern gender theory. Why? Because I could understand how somebody has no empirical evidence that the earth is round. They've never been high enough to see it, or, you know, they haven't ever seen a picture from, you know, spacecraft, et cetera. You know, so maybe they don't actually have empirical, you know, evidence of it, whereas we all have empirical evidence of the human person, you know, given that we are, one, a human person. What is the fallaciousness of modern gender theory? It's reductive, just like all of them. It's reductive of the human person. It reduces the human person to merely a mind with no reference to a body and no reference to a soul, no reference to being created by God. It's what you would expect, however, in an increasingly secular environment that doesn't believe or accept anything objectively true. So it's not really surprising that we're in this ridiculous space. But the problem with it, and the absolute, I think, refutation of it, is you have to believe that the human person is merely a mind, and that's it. A mind that can determine all of reality for itself, which places the human person in the position of God. For a Christian, this is nonsensical. At the last Mass, I said it's a stupid idea, and I was corrected by some of the kids, and they said, in my house, you can't call it stupid. And I said, well, I don't have to listen to your mother. Now, we don't call people stupid, but ideas, it's a stupid idea. Now, why are we in this space? Whose fault is it? We always want to, you know, find somebody. Whose fault is it? Well, it's your fault. But I'm not going to blame the women here because it's Mother's Day. So men, it's your fault. And I actually believe part of that is true. And here's why. Because the job of a man, the job of a father is to protect those he loves. And men, we have allowed the feminization of men to go too far. Our job is to protect. Our job is to be courageous. Our job is to be strong, to speak the truth in love, to not dominate, but to be truthful and to protect. And men, I call you to this responsibility. It's a grave responsibility, a responsibility we will have to answer for to one much higher than ourselves and even our wives. Our job is to protect. We must take this seriously. The nonsense that we see going on in the culture today will exist and continue as long as we want it to, as long as we choose to allow it. We have more power than we think we have because we've been told we don't and have been persuaded that that's true. When the people rise up and say, this is false, and we're not going to allow it in our schools anymore, and we're not going to entertain it in culture anymore, and we're not going to consume it and buy it, we have power, we have strength. And furthermore, families, and this will include the moms in this too, it is not my job or the church's job to form your children. It's your job. We help. Absolutely we help, but it's your job. And it's not your school's job. In many ways, your job is to protect your children from much of the nonsense that they're given. That's your job, which means you got to be in it. You've got to be aware. You've got to be engaged. The greatest power we have, and it's the reason, by the way, culturally in America, it's the First Amendment. The greatest power we have in the culture is to speak the truth. The power of people speaking the truth and refusing to be silenced is mighty. Now, as we move further, and particularly I'm thinking about younger people now, so the younger people who are here, I know that there's a lot of confusion about this, because you might think, well, Father, you know, that's an argument, but a lot of kids, teenagers, and even young adults are confused. That's true, absolutely true. But of course you are, because if you're growing up in a culture that doesn't believe in truth and doesn't believe in God, or this understanding of the human person, which comes from God, if we don't believe that people are created by God, you're going to be filled with all kinds of confusing ideas. It's understandable. So here, when we're thinking about the ascension, Jesus, God, becomes man. So he unites the divine nature with the human nature. He unites God and man together in himself. He dies on the cross, and there humanity dies on the cross. He rises from the dead, and there also humanity rises from the dead. And he ascends into heaven, and, right, you know where I'm going, and there also human nature ascends into heaven. What Christ has done in human nature is incredible and astounding, because what he has given is not just, you know, taken our human nature, redeemed it, and taken it back to the Father. What he has done is he is also giving us a share in his divine nature, so that while he unites humanity with himself, right, in his person, he then gives us the ability to unite ourselves with him also. That's what baptism is. That's what the sacraments are. And insofar as we live in his grace and receive the sacraments, we are being renewed. And so young people and old people, the idea is that our identity is first founded in Jesus Christ. The most important identity any of us will ever have is that we are a self in Christ, that we are a son or daughter of Jesus Christ. And if we unite ourselves with him, and you think about all of the difficulties we have in life, you all have so many. right? There's so many difficulties, all of you who are here today. Some of you are like, yeah, I'm only here, Father, because it's Mother's Day and Mom made me come. All right, well, so you're going to get a long homily. No, I'm almost done. Almost done, just about done. Here's the end. We think about all of the struggles we have and all of the difficulties in life. The most important thing we need is to live our lives in Jesus Christ and in his grace. Found our identities on him and in him, and all of the confusion will go away. It will all be resolved in time. But be brave, be bold, be courageous, and never be afraid to speak and live in the truth of God. Please stand. Thank you. So when I first got here 5 years ago, I found that you were